Now back to The Morning Rush with Bill Carroll on News Talk 580 CFRA.
It's true, the list of exemptions to the vaccine passport looks kind of long at first and a little bit confusing, but you take a look at it and you realize it seems to me pretty simple. You can come, but you can't stay. Want to go to a restaurant, pick up food, you can go in, you can pay, then you leave. You just can't sit and join people. So everything else seems to come down to that same kind of idea, quick in and out. And that sounds like it's based on the science, right? The longer you're around people who have COVID-19, the more likely you are to get it. So if you want to stay for a meal, you want to stay for an entire football game or hockey game or concert, you have to be vaccinated. Otherwise, no. Now, you want to drop by the box office and pick up tickets for somebody else who is vaccinated, you can do that. You're not staying long. So, and there are other things that, to me, a grocery store is a place you can go without spending a lot of time right next to the same person and spread it. But even if you could, people have to eat. So some of it is just beyond the science even. So I'm not confused, really. And if you are, maybe Dr. Paul Romeliotis, the Medical Officer of Health for Eastern Ontario's Health Unit, can clarify some of that for you. He's a pretty smart guy and common sense. Good morning, Doc. Good to have you back on.
Good morning, Bill.
I look at the exemptions. It's pretty straightforward to me, really, when you really look at it and think about it. Do you think there's some confusion here?
No, I don't think there's any confusion. I think it's straightforward. You know, medical exemptions, age exemptions, and in-and-out exemptions, because I know that they were asking that, the media asked that of Dr. Moore yesterday, like, why can you go into a restaurant if you're not vaccinated? Well, the context is different, as you said, Bill. When you walk into a restaurant to pick up your food, you're masked. It's less than a 15-minute sort of stay, in and out. You go to the bathroom, in and out, you're all masked. So it's a different context than sitting down and having a meal, taking off your mask for a couple of hours, right? So I think that makes a lot of sense. What we were waiting for, Bill, really to clarify, was that in sporting events, in indoor recreational sports and so on, they had excluded youth activities. And that was something that we were waiting for clarification. So what it looks like is that if you're going into an arena or into an indoor, soccer field to play organized sports, then 18, the cutoff is 18 years of age. So if you're below 18, you don't have to have proof of vaccination. And that's a bit of that was what we were waiting for. We wanted to see what that cutoff would be. But other than that, I think it's very straightforward.
And what people are going to say, right? Well, if an unvaccinated 18-year-old can go play sports, why can't I go and play sports? Just balancing off the...
I think they had to balance... exactly. I think they balanced off the mental health and the importance of exercising and sports with that. They had to make
and
a
with
trade-off
the fact that younger people are less likely to get really sick and die. And
exactly.
It's not a perfect system.
A lot of what we do, Bill, is risk-based, right? Risk-based. It's you're not going to allow, 75-year-olds to do that, right? It's not a slight against 75-year-olds, but I'm just saying individuals who are vulnerable. And you're right. It's along the vein of what you're saying. They're trying to balance it. So, we're supporting this. I was a supporter of this before it was announced. And I think that it is the right way to go, Bill. I was looking at some data this morning, and I kind of fell off my chair looking at this. Looking at areas that don't have vaccine mandates, they don't have vaccination rates like we do. Florida, for example, 21 million people, smaller than Canada. In the past 28 days, they had 500,000 cases, 8,000 deaths. And if you compare Canada, in the last 28 days, we had 97,000 cases, 595 deaths, and, 36 million people. So I think
Look at Alberta, the medical officer of health.
And Alberta admits,
She blew it, Alberta right? Now. They went all Florida too soon, and they got, double the number of cases we have, and we have four times their population. So it's soaring there. Their ICUs are filling up.
Exactly. I'm just looking at the counts now. It's true. They're up to...
But why isn't that our future?
Pardon me?
Does that have to be our future?
No, it does not. It does not have to be our future. And I don't think it will be our future because I think we're taking the right steps. So one of the steps that we've done here in Ontario is we've remained in step three. We haven't gone out beyond step three, and we need to be there. Our vaccination rates, I'm very happy to report, we're almost at 80% provincially of people being fully vaccinated, which is great. I think we're just below that, 79 point something. So I think those are the type of things that we need to pursue. And we're still seeing breakthrough cases. We're seeing cases. Yesterday we were, I think, at 500 or 600. I'm seeing sort of a flattening of that wave. We'll see what happens over the next couple of days. We're not seeing, the big surges in hospitalizations. And the hospitalizations that we're seeing predominantly are among the non-vaccinated. I mean, the data speaks for itself, Will.
Well, it certainly seems to. Yeah, I was looking at the case numbers in Ontario as well, and you can see a slowing down of the increases.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not decreasing,
no,
but almost...
No, it's flattening.
Yeah, exactly. You're starting to see that plateau.
So
how does that balance off with school now being back for a week or so?
Well, that's a good point. We were looking at my statistics locally. 30% of our cases in August were in kids 4 to 18 years of age. And that's before school started. And so some of the cases that we're seeing now are a reflection of the contacts that kids had or staff had before school started. And we're seeing, so they happened to start school, and the timing is that they were positive while school started. And it wasn't that it was in the schools. It didn't start in the schools. Over 87% of all cases that we had last year in schools didn't come from the schools, came from the community. And we have mechanisms in place to be able to, limit transmission, isolate, close classes, those type of things that we have.
But are they enough now with the Delta variant and how easily it spreads? Because I know it's too soon to know where we're headed with schools back.
It's too soon to know, but again, what we're going to wait and see. We're trying to. What we're seeing now is when we isolate a case, and we've isolated multiple cases now in multiple classes in my area, French boards initially, because they started a couple of weeks ago. We have not seen spread beyond that one child or that one individual in the school. However, we see spread in the family. Like it spreads like wildfire in the family. So as long as we isolate them, let it take its course, and they don't expose others, I think we're controlling it. And that's the importance of contact tracing and case management that we do. That's very important. We need to continue that. And it's very unlikely that we have big time spread within the schools. We isolate and we use the same measures. Don't forget that the high schools now have that additional layer of protection, which hopefully is most teachers or all teachers and staff vaccinated, and most and all students vaccinated as well, 12 and above. And in the elementary schools, we definitely need to have teachers vaccinated, staff vaccinated, as high as possible, because we want to protect the kids. So that's another layer of protection. So the precautions that we take for the other variants are the same for Delta, but we're being ultra careful. So when we have a doubt of whether we have to close a class or do this, we sort of err on the positive, on the safe side. But you're right, time will tell. But I still think that, as we see community levels go up, we'll see it in the schools, just like we saw it in long-term care and other settings.
I know Eugene Melnyk was saying he thinks they'll have full crowds when the Sens season opens, which is just around the corner now.
Mm-hmm.
I have a very good source that says, actually, where we're really at is waiting to see what unfolds with the schools open, give it another week or two before we make a final decision. What, if anything, have you heard about that?
I've heard that there's no decision made at this point. I've heard that we're taking a cautious approach, and decisions will be made based on what we rolls out over the next couple of weeks. As you said, not only going back to school, but also where people are more indoors and so on. So it's hard for us to say full. It's at this point the step three does not allow that. The maximum is 1,000 people indoors. And so I think that we're not ready to go beyond step three. Again, it depends on the epidemiology, the cases, and the rate of vaccinations that we have. And, of course, I think that there will be indoor spectators, but will it be capacity? I'm not sure. They will be obviously required to be, masked and vaccinated, so that's going to be safe. But I'm not sure at what point the government and, authorities will decide exactly how many can go into that. At this point, we're still in step three, so there still are restrictions.
Yeah, and if you're not vaccinated, you're about to go back to step two, really.
That's, well, exactly. I mean, right. that, and that's that's the unfortunate thing. But really, you know, Bill, it's the only way to go for us to be able to proceed onto the next step, because otherwise we're going to retract and go back and have to close again. And as I've been a, you know, very major proponent, I've spoken to my to our chambers of commerce in my area saying, you know, the last thing we want to do is close businesses. So I think the passport system, the certification system, will add another level of protection as well to be able to, again, at least control the spread until such time as we have herd immunity and we're starting to vaccinate the children. I hear that Pfizer will be submitting, you know, probably this month or next month, and it's very likely that we'll be vaccinating children this year, this calendar year, which will be another increase to our herd immunity.
Good to have you back on the show. Thank you.
No problem.
Dr. Paul Romeliotis, Medical Officer of Health, Eastern Ontario Health Unit. I'm going to say he still sounds pretty optimistic. The Morning Rush, Bill Carroll.